Challenger, Houston, you're go for DOI 2.
Thank you, Gordo. We're go here for DOI 2.
That's affirmative.
Okay, it all looks pretty good to me. 546 may have been a little more than spec, but looks pretty good.
Okay, it looks good here. Jack, have you gone to an Omni? If you have, go low bit rate.
Okay, we got you on an Omni and low bit.
Okay.
This is Apollo Control. We've had loss of signal. As America and Challenger coasting along nearby each other, passed behind the moon on Revolution number 12. Some 47 minutes until they come back around again on the 13th lunar revolution. Behind the moon this time, the command service module piloted by Ron Evans will do the CSM circularization maneuver, which will place the spacecraft back up into a almost circular lunar orbit, measuring 69.7 by 54.5. Those are the targeted measurements of the orbit. Ignition time, again, which will be behind the moon and out of contact, is a ground elapse time of 1:11:57:28. The lunar module DOI, or descent orbit insertion burn number 2, also will be behind the moon before we reacquire the spacecraft. That is scheduled for 112 hours, 2 minutes, 40 seconds. It's a fairly small burn of 7.6 feet per second, which will lower the Paracynthian of Challenger down to 6.5 miles, nautical miles, with Apocynthian staying at 61.5 nautical miles. During the next front side pass comes the moment of truth with power descent and touchdown at Taurus Littrow landing site as Challenger lights off the big descent engine at 112 hours, 49 minutes, 52 seconds ground elapsed time. The ignition countdown clock in the control center is counting down 2 PDI, some 59 minutes, 17, 16 seconds until ignition, with landing shortly under 12 minutes later, depending on the amount of hover time available. The broadcast line will be brought up again just prior to acquisition of signal as America and Challenger come around on the front side again on Revolution 13. And at 111 hours, 51 minutes, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control at 112 hours, 33 minutes, ground elapsed time in the mission of Apollo 17. Coming up on acquisition of signal of both spacecraft, America and Challenger, coming from behind the moon on the 13th lunar orbit. Some 1 minute, 32 seconds away from acquisition of the command module and slightly under 3 minutes on the lunar module Challenger. Challenger during this revolution will descend to the surface of the moon and land at the Taurus Littrow landing site. Ignition time currently is ground elapsed time of 112 hours, 49 minutes, 52 seconds. During the descent to the surface, the spacecraft onboard computer will be generating numbers on the display, which the lunar module pilot will call out to the commander, at which angles at which the commander should be able to see the landing site through a grid etched on the left-hand window of the lunar module. Here we have AOS. AOS of the command service module, and the circularization burn was good. This is Apollo Control on the Air Ground 2 circuit. Command Module Pilot Ron Evans is giving the CAPCOM all of the residuals. Here comes Challenger. Back to the landing sequence as the lunar module pilot reads out the angles that the commander ought to be able to see the landing site. The commander is able to run through an operation called redesignation by using a pitch hand controller to rotate the spacecraft.
Oh. Okay, Challenger, you're loud and clear on the Omni. How did this go?
Okay, the burn was go. We're in a 7 mile perigee on the pings, and we had zero, plus 0.1 and plus 0.1 residuals.
Okay, sounds good.
Oh. Okay, Gordy, I'm going to try the high gain. I had you locked up once, and then I lost you. Let me try it again.
We concur. Go ahead, Jack. Okay, we'll stay on the Omni for the uplink.
Okay, Gordy, 80 bats for 37.2, both batteries. The ascent battery on time was 112.1900, about 4 minutes late.
Okay, Jack, copy. Jack, we want battery 3 off for preconditioning.
Roger.
Challenger, we'd like you to verify that the mandrakes
are
egress.
That's verified.
Roger.
And you have a 231 update?
Stand by. Negative, no change, Jack.
Okay, Gorno, how do you read CDI on box?
CDI, you're loud and clear on box.
Okay. How do you read the LMP on box?
Loud and clear, Jack.
Okay, Gorno, up until this time, the bird has looked beautiful. Perfectly clean. All the checks have come out just as advertised.
Okay, sounds good.
And we're looking at 9 minutes and 5 seconds from PDI.
Challenger, do you see a VERP 33
yeah,
on the disky? If you do, enter it.
Okay, it's there and I will enter.
Gotcha.
Okay, it took and I'm showing poop.
Okay, your computer, the uplink's in.
Got a tone on the upvoice backup.
Roger.
VERP 47 coming at you, Jack. Okay, hit it. Jack, got it. Four zero, 231 569 00. That's supposed to be. Okay, 569 00 to 240 to the same. 569 00. Okay. Okay, 254 is plus 01944. Okay. Okay, 262 is minus 00143. Okay, 400 plus 3. And I'll watch it. How's it look? 10.
It's had that all the way along.
Okay,
a little bit of roll bias there.
That's good. 400 plus 1. 400 plus 1 is in. Okay, and we do have your needle. Do have your needle, okay? Okay, and there's VERP 83 looking at you. My cross motors are low mull for you. Okay, and there's VERP 83. Give me a 317 and a 440.
Challenger, Houston, we'd like you to try the high gain once more. Pitch of minus, pitch of zero and yaw plus 59.
You happy with this, Jack?
Yeah, let me see.
I want to get 63.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's good.
Good.
You already understand no 968 prior to P63 or 969, right?
That's affirmative.
Okay, you need to ask him anything, I'll try the high gate.
No, go ahead, try it.
Try the high gate, Gordy.
Okay.
Okay, it's locked up in auto.
Roger.
And Gordy, be advised that you're clipping on your first word.
Okay, Jack, we'd like you to set 410 in the YAGS to all balls, plus all balls.
That's 410, 410, not 400. Check that again.
That's affirmative, 410.
Thank you, Gordy.
You better go back and check 400 now.
It's okay, I fixed it.
Okay.
Oh man, are we down among them, babe? Woo!
Challenger, Houston, I have a PDI TIG update. It's 112-49-5187. And noun 61 cross range should be a plus 2.8. Over.
Okay, say the seconds again on the PDI.
PDI seconds are 5187. Over.
Okay, and the cross range?
Cross range is a plus 2.8. Over.
Okay, Gordy, that clock checks with our time out of P-63. The landing radar breaker is in. I've got altitude and velocity power. We're coming up on 4 minutes. I'll give it a final trim at 4.
Okay.
Challenger Houston, your go for PDI.
Oh, thank you, Gordy. We are go up here for PDI, and there is a final trim at 4. Hello, America. Do you read Challenger?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll go ahead and get it.
Okay, Jack, you can check your watch.
Okay.
At 2 minutes, I'll get the master arm.
All right.
30 seconds, I'll get the engine arm, and we'll watch the ping's tape meter pick up average G. You give me a go on the ullage, I'll back up the ullage.
Okay.
And I'll back up the start.
Challenger, should we lose the steerable, go forward on me.
Roger, forward on me. That's down a little bit. Okay, 241. Picked it all up. Power is still good.
Okay, coming up on 2 minutes. I'm changing over here.
Okay. Master arm on. 2 minutes. Okay, Houston, 2 minutes. Master arm is on. I've got two good lights.
Roger.
Both selectors things. Okay. Once again, an average G. I'll get the engine arm. You confirm the ullage. Get the pro. I'll back up the ullage and get the start.
Roger.
Challenger, we're going to leave bat 3 off until after ignition. We'll call you.
Roger. Yeah, I should have put that on like we talked about. Tell you. We are getting close. Looking out your window is really strange. From over here. 1 minute, Houston, and we're standing by. We're go for PDI.
Roger, you're looking good here.
Approaching 30 seconds, blank, 50 blanks. Average G, got two lights. Okay, engine arm is decent. I think the tape meter drove, I'm not sure. Confirm the ullage.
Standing by for ullage.
Proceed on the 99. It took 2-1-0. Ignition. Ignition, Houston. Attitude looks good. Engine override is on. Master arm is off. We got a decent quantity light on at ignition, just prior to ignition.
GT, G tank's good. RCS is good at 15 seconds.
Roger.
RCS is golden.
Should be stable, throttle up. Stand by, there's throttle up.
Last time, Houston. And the computer likes it.
Roger.
Still got the quantity light on. Okay, attitude looks good, Jack.
Okay, at 30 seconds, should have about 108.
Oh, boy. Bags and things are close. Okay, coming up on 1 minute.
1 minute, you ought to have 98.
Okay, H dot is high right now. Mark it 1 minute. Altitude time.
Challenger, Houston, I have a 169.
Trust the light. What's good, Houston?
Plus 03400, plus 3,400 feet. Over.
You're looking at it. Okay, 3,400, I confirm.
Challenger, your go for enter.
Roger, go for enter, 130, we're go coming through 57K. Okay, the altitude's high and the H dot is high. That's right. Okay, at 2 minutes, you ought to have 89 on the ball. We're still 30 feet per second high in H dot, but we're about 8,000 feet high.
Challenger,
7,000.
Houston,
okay,
we'd like
Houston,
you to cycle the PQGS switch off and then back on.
Okay, it's off, and it's back on. Quantity light is out.
Roger, that should be good now.
And Houston, we have engine thrust and commanded thrust, full scale high.
Roger.
Man, that looks good. Okay, babe, let's check them at 230. RCS looks good. 230, I'm about 89 degrees.
Cabin looks great.
51.5.
89 is great.
We're catching up on our altitude. We should start dropping H dot here a little bit. Bags and things are together. Bags has us a little bit out of plane, and we're north. Has us north of track.
Challenger, Houston, you're going
through. We're out of 49K. Roger, understand, we're go. Okay, at 3 minutes, 82 is your ball number. We're still looking for the right altitude, so our H dot is high. Okay. The day of reckoning comes at 4 minutes, Jack. Rest of weight building up, looking good. Attitudes are good. Okay, at 3:30, you ought to have 79. Okay, it's right on. We're still a little high, about 2,500 feet. H dot is still high. Okay, the tape meter moves in spurts and jerks, both on altitude and altitude rate.
Yeah.
Challenger, Houston, you're going at 4 minutes.
37.2.
Roger, ED bats.
ED bats are three. Okay. Okay, Gordo, you're all coming to 340.
Roger.
And the radar lights are out. Beautiful.
Okay, sounds great. Both systems
you're
are go right on the line.
Okay, you're looking at Del H.
And you're go for a VERP 57.
Okay, VERP 57 is in. Hey, Houston, is the AX out of plane, correct?
Stand by.
Okay, coming up on 5 minutes, Jack. Let's take a check at it. About 74 degrees.
That's good.
70 feet per second, we're coming down. 36, you're still a...
Challenger, you're going 5 minutes.
Okay,
the egg's out of plane, looks okay to us.
Okay, go at 5, we're out of 36.5 now. We got the earth right out the front window.
Challenger Houston, battery 3 on at your convenience.
Battery 3 is on.
53 miles to landing.
30, Gordo, we're go. We're out of 34K. 73, 34. We're right on altitude. The H-dot ought to start dropping off. Except that we want to keep it high. You're allowed two quick looks out the window, one now and one when we pitch over. I can't see a thing except the Earth. That's what I'm telling you to look at. Oh, there's the old Earth. Okay, Houston coming up on 6 minutes. 6 minutes, you ought to have 72 on your ball.
Challenger, you're going
72 is goal.
40 miles to landing.
Suit's great. H-dot's great. Ags and things are very close. Couple feet per second difference. Okay.
31,000 feet out.
We went over the hump. Del H just jumped.
Roger.
And it looks like it's back down.
Roger, sounds good.
6:30, Gino. It looks good, babe. 72. Altitude is right on. H-dot is very close. Okay, 30K, you ought to zero.
Throttle down time 7 plus 2, 6.
Okay,
right.
We got everything. We're yaw zero. Okay, at 7 minutes, 67, your angle, 26, 27, that's great. 106,
H-dot
slightly high, but okay. Okay, Gordo, we're going 7. We're now at 25,000 feet. Okay, we're quite a bit out of the command module plane, but I guess we're on target. Okay, watch the throttle. Now, here it comes. Throttle out of 27. Computer likes it. Beautiful.
Roger.
Okay, 7:30. Okay, 145 to pitch over, Jack. Okay, 63 is your angle. About 56 now. Okay, that's getting closer. H-dot and H are great. Standing by for the camera. 19K, Houston. We're go coming up on 8. Okay, the old camera's on, Gordy, believe it or not.
How about that? You're go at 8. Monitor fuel 2.
10 miles to go.
Fuel 2. 27. That's good. Come on, baby.
18,000 feet.
30, Gino. Okay, I got the South Massif. Okay, update the ags, Houston. Yes.
That's affirmative. Update the ags.
Okay, Gordo, I got Nansen, I've got Lara, and I've got the Scarp.
5 miles to landing.
We're level with the top of the Massif now.
Roger.
Okay, 151 1510 entered. Okay, Jack, pitch
Challenger,
over. Challenger, go at 9. 4. Okay. 4 on pitch over. Okay, Gordo, we're out of 11,000 at 9. Okay, stand by for pitch over. Oh, are we coming in? Oh, baby. Stay okay. Through 9,000. Stand by for pitch over, Jack. 8,000. I'll need the pro. I'll give it to you.
There it is.
Proceeded. And there it is, Houston. There's Camelot. Wide on target.
I see it.
We got them all. 42 degrees, 37 degrees, to 5,500. 38 degrees.
Challenger, you're go for landing.
42 degrees, to 4,000. 47 now. 47 degrees through 3,500. 49 degrees. 3,000 feet. 53 degrees. Okay, I've got Barre, I've got Poppy, I've got the triangle. That's 2,500 feet, 52 degrees. H dot is good at 2,000. H dot is good. Fuel is good. 1,500 feet. 54 degrees, Gene. Approaching 1,000. Approaching 1,000 feet, 57 degrees. Okay, you're through 1,000. I'm taking radar altitude and things altitude degree. You're through 800 feet. H-dot's a little high.
Yeah, I don't need the numbers anymore.
Okay, you're 31 feet per second, going down through 500. 25 feet per second through 400. That's a little high, Gino.
Okay.
300 feet, 15 feet per second. A little high. H-dot's a little high.
Okay, I've got P-66.
Okay. Okay, 9 feet per second down at 200. Going down at 5. Going down at 5. Going down at 10. Cut the H-dot. It feels good. 110 feet. Stand by for some dust. A little forward, Gene. Move forward a little. 90 feet. Little forward velocity. 80 feet. Going down at 3. Getting a little dust. You're at 60 feet. Going down about 2. Very little dust. Very little dust. 40 feet. Going down at 3. Stand by for touchdown. Stand by. 25 feet. Down at 2. Feels good. 20 feet. Going down at 2. 10 feet. 10 feet. Contact. Stop, push. Engine stop. Engine arm. Proceed. Command override off. Boat control ahead. Hold. Pings auto. Okay, Houston, the Challenger has landed.
Roger, Challenger. That's super.
Okay, Parker Valves. Boy, you bet it is, Gordo. Boy, you said shut down. I shut down and we dropped, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
But we is here. Man, is we here. How's that look?
Pressures.
Pressures look great. Tank two's down just a little bit before.
Engine override is off.
Manifold is great. Manifold's right on.
Go to jets.
Okay, I am jets. Okay, that side's complete. Houston, you can tell America that Challenger is a Taurus Littrow.
We'll do it.
Great.
Brian, I had the meatball all the way.
Beautiful.
And Jack, are we going to have some nice boulders in this area?
Okay, the old camera's off.
Okay.
Landing radar breaker open. Checking the water. And okay. Gordy, ascent tank one, we started out a little low. It's still the same place. That's water.
Roger, Jack.
Batteries look good. Oh, man, look at that rock out there.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I think I can see the rim of Camelot.
Roger.
Epic moment of my life. Where'd you land? You never let me look outside at all. Hey, you can see the boulder tracks. Okay, Gordy, we're standing by for your go. We're looking good on board.
Okay, you're looking great here so
there,
far.
There, boulders all over those massies. God, look at that propellant. We could have gone all around and looked around.
We should have hovered around a little bit. Gone look at the scarf.
Oh, no, thank you. I like it right where we are.
Okay, Gordy, while you're waiting on that go, I had to, I shot for a spot around 2 o'clock from Poppy. There were a number of boulders out at 12 o'clock from Poppy, and I really think I'm probably not more than about 100 meters out in front of it, and slightly to the north. Actually, I may be a little bit closer to Trident than I expected Poppy to be. I think I've got Trident right out the left window. And first cut at the mobility around here in a rover, it ought to be super.
Okay, sounds good.
And I tell you, the Massif and Bear Mountain are two different products. They're looking, don't they? Of course, they're different slopes, too. I think you're looking probably That may be Rudolph right there, Jack, out your window. I was looking more at those boulders and trying to stay in the spots in between them than I was...
Yeah, you did great,
relationship to that crater.
And there was practically no dust. Just a little bit of a film. You had to ground all the way to the ground.
Yeah. I could call touchdown on a shadow. Look at that. Really here. Okay, Gordy, we're hanging in for your go.
It better be a go.
I'll check everything again. Let's just double check.
Okay. That hasn't changed.
Okay, that's good.
The manifold hasn't changed. The RCS hasn't changed. Ascent water hasn't changed. The batteries haven't changed.
Oh, my golly.
Only we have changed.
You know, the you can't see it in the Camelot, Jack. That rim is Camelot out in front of us.
Yeah.
Challenger, you'll be glad to hear you're safe. We're T1.
In America. 40
years.
We have a stay for T1.
We are stay for T1. Okay, you can
get
all I told you about group 22 down 46.
What was that?
Okay, let's find out where we are. Engine stop is reset. Okay, the AGS is ready for us if we need it. Okay, I need a P12 time as soon as I get 60.
Okay.
Okay, Gordy, you're looking at down 43. Copy that down, Jack, right here.
Okay, we've got it.
2021 and 3075, and I'll go into P12. Okay, I need a P12 time from you.
Okay.
For T2.
For T2, the time is 113.
Okay.
14.
14?
2491.
491.
Yes, sir.
I can't feel any difference between 16G and anything else right now.
Well, you still got your restraints on.
Okay. 113, 1424.91. You happy with that?
That looks good, sir.
Okay. I got to change these numbers. You didn't get an update on 976, did you? I don't think so.
No, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay, 5515. Hello, Gordy. How would you like me to handle R3 of 976?
Stand by, I'll come back to you.
Okay. Oh, that radar performed super.
How was the view on the way down, Gene?
You know? After we pitched over, I was just looking for a place to land. I'm not sure. I just didn't want to hit one of those boulders out there, which would have been a Z. And look at that. Look at right in front of us. I didn't want to land there either.
I see that one right in front
you
of us.
You see that?
Challenger,
no,
Houston, R3, thrust range is okay as is.
Okay.
Okay, we're coming up 20.
We're in posture for a T2, Gordy.
Roger.
Okay, I see the scarp. I see Hanover.
Good thing we didn't plan to go to Hanover. It's steep. Yeah, the boulder halfway up the hill.
Yeah.
Or not halfway, just enough.
Yeah, the boulder tracks are beautiful.
It's sitting right there in the end of the track.
There are tracks all over that hillside.
There's a boulder came right down to the surface there. See it?
Yep.
That one right through that little crater.
Yep.
It's sitting there for us to sample. Look at it.
Yes, sir.
Up that Bear Mountain and the sculptured hills are the same.
Yeah, they, well, the slope's different. We'll have to look at them from outside. You may be right.
Now I see why they call them sculptures. They're so hummocky that there's shadow all over them.
Yeah.
God, there's some holes and rocks around here. Who told me this was a flat landing site?
It is flat. Crying out loud, what do you want? An airtight guarantee?
Let's see, we got about 2 degrees left and about 5 degrees pitch up.
You're about, what, 100 meters from Triton?
Yeah, less than that. I think Triton's right
here. Our shadow's about 100 feet.
Gino, I think. Yeah, we're only about, less than 100 meters in. Doesn't look that long, but it's
there's some holes
I'm glad I didn't land in around here, I'll tell you. Now, if you look at the Mestizo, Jack, I don't know if you can see it over here. It's the, they're almost like a series of linear boulder tracks, but they come crossways down the slope. So it looks like there may very definitely be some jointed. There's outcrop on top of the Mestizo, too.
Oh, it sure looks like it. Gray outcrop.
And there's a
bluish gray compared to the brown or tan gray of the Mestizo side.
And a lot of that boulder is, a lot of that outcrop down on the bottom is boulder.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of way up on top of that outcrop?
It
reminds me of Sunset, where you could just add a little piece of outcrop around the corner.
That's right. 129.
Okay, let's see what we're doing. We got 3 minutes for T2. Let's take another check.
Okay, I just looked at him.
SN looks good. Marty, I noticed something ever since we've landed. The oxidizer quantity went from 7 or 8, and now it's down to 2, and the fuel has stayed constant.
Roger.
And the quantity light came on somewhere, I believe, after we landed. That did.
I noticed the quantity light also. I was thinking the reg light, though, when I saw it.
Oh, man.
Challenger, we'll have a story on that for you later. We don't think we were really low level.
Okay, it doesn't make any difference now, Gordy, except to talk about when we get home.
Roger.
And we're 2 minutes in cost to T2.
Roger.
We better hurry if we're gonna get, they're gonna give us a go. How about some water? Yeah, you can zap me. Oh, I'll tell you. That's something everyone's got to do once in their life. I wonder. We're not going to have much time for T2.
Challenger, Houston, your stay for T2 and go for the DIPS event.
Okay, understand. Stay for T2 and go for the DIPS event. Let me get out of, okay, we can't hack that. I'm going to get out of 12. Excuse me, Dave. Okay. You can unzap that water if you'd like, and let's go off box. Let's go on PTT.
This is Apollo Control. We mark the unofficial landing time at 113 hours, 1 minute, 52 seconds. Ground elapsed time. And from the description, the unofficial landing site is about 100 meters beyond the crater Poppy.
Oxidizer fuel vents coming open.
Roger.
Master arm on. Master arm's coming on. Okay, Gordo, I got 2 good lights. Decent vent fire. Okay, mark it. We did not hear anything on that one, Gordy.
Roger.
Pressure's coming down, though. Pressure's coming down. Master arm off. Okay, we'll monitor oxidizer pressure until 20 to 40, and then ox vent closed, fuel pressure to less than 8 fuel vent. Descent quantity light. Reg light, excuse me. Okay, mode control, 2 to add hold. Well, we just keep going, I guess. Yeah. Hey, we can press on. Okay, okay, now wait a minute. Here we go. Let's get that. Go up here first. Because I haven't selected it. Okay, ECA control is closed. 3 is back on. Battery 5 is off. Reset, and it's off the line. Battery 6, off, reset. And it's off the line. Okay. Inverter number 2. Breaker is in. Inverter 2. Let me check the voltage. Voltage is great. Okay. Keep going. Descent engine override's open. SN ECA controls open. Freeway cycling. Cycled. Both lights are out. Okay, cabin pressure is good. Okay, and then A and B going to cabin. A's to cabin, B's to cabin. Full egress. Return is egress. Repress going to auto. Stand by for a noise. There you go. It's an auto. Okay, now it's your turn. Verify it. Wonder where it's going. Out, I guess. Burger 2 is selected. And deck of power open. And guess what? Take your helmet and glove off. Okay, Gordy, we're on 1-1. Helmets and gloves are off. Diverter valves are IV.
Okay, we're right with you.
And you're looking at now 20. Window shades are going closed. I'm using it instead of a light switch because I got it covered up. Gordy, you got 920?
That's affirmative. We copy 920.
Okay, Jack, you want to pick up the eggs on the right side of that page, and I'll park the antenna.
Roger.
P-20's in work. Or correction, P-57's in work.
Challenger, Houston, your dips, oxidizer pressure is 40 or less. You can close it.
Thank you, Gordy. Gordy, while the P-57 is doing its gravity work. Let me say that the LNA and a landing site, from a relief point of view, I think are identical. I couldn't say enough for the LNA. I actually didn't look around nearly as much as I thought I would or as I wanted to because I had fixation on a reasonable spot to land. They're not all reasonable in that there's some very subtle hummocky-like craters right in and around where we are, and there's not a lot of boulders laying on the surface, but there's a lot of what appear to be boulders that are covered up by some of the dark mantle, numerous enough that you would not like to take a chance of putting a pad down on one of them or in one of those hummocky subtle craters. As a result, I really didn't have a chance to look all around at where I wanted to, except to put the bird down where I wanted it.
Okay, we got no complaint with that.
I guess the thing that probably surprised me most about the site as far as landing is concerned is the fact that there were these I hesitate to say they're outcrops, but certainly they're buried massive pieces of rock, whether they're boulders or not, we'll have to find out here in the plains area, partially covered and filleted by the dark mantle. And I expected to find a number of craters, but I guess I really didn't expect to find
the rock types are out, and we're talking about anywhere from 1 to 2 meters down to 2 or 3 feet, which when they're sticking out and on the sides of some of these subtle craters look pretty menacingly. But that probably is the one thing that surprised me most.
Roger, Gene.
The visibility prior to pitch over was such that I could see Nansen, I could see the Scarp, I could see Lara. I could not see Camelot until after pitch over. However, once I had pitch over, if I could have froze it right there like we do the simulator occasionally, I could have picked out everything there was to see. Even at 6,000 feet, the small triangle with Frosty and Rudolph and Funk were visible to me. I had Poppy from orbit, as a matter of fact, so it was easy to see. Barhea was a very sharp round crater, just as depicted on the LNA. The thing I really didn't get a good look at, because I didn't pay too much attention to it, was from Triton on to the south.
Roger.
Gordy, this is LNB. Let me say, Gordy, this is LNB. Let me say that the inside of the spacecraft looked just like the simulator.
Very good, Jack.
Another interesting thing, Gordy, all the way through PDI prior to pitch over, Jack and I had had the real America, or the other America, right out, smack out the front window all the way down, which was pretty spectacular.
I'll bet it was, and you can consider yourself stay for T3.
Thank you, sir. You're getting smoother all the time. If you're happy with down 22, I'll pro.
Stand by one. You're clear to pro.
Okay, Gordy, I had the angles matched on the steerable and went to SLU, and they it held for a few seconds and then dropped off.
Okay, it looks pretty good. You might try to peek it up just a little more.
So we're on an Omni now.
All right.
I'll try the steerable one more time here.
Okay.
Okay, we're on the steerable, and I'm not going to touch it. It's steerable and SLU, and I got 3.8.
Okay, that looks good to us, Jack. Jack, we'd like you to verify the tape recorder off.
Yeah, that's verified, Gordy.
Gordy, how does the fuel vent look to you?
Okay, it looks like 8 to us. You can go ahead and close
anyway,
it.
Okay, I already did. I guess I'm puzzled on that one. I had the right star. You see anything we did wrong?
Stand by, we're checking. Gene, our only guess is that you might have loaded noun 88 wrong. We'd like you to start over and we'll watch you real close again.
Gordy, listen, I think we know what we did. We loaded spiral for cursor and cursor for spiral. How would it be if we went through the P-57 again and yeah, we'll... I guess we got to do it all over. Those old numbers are no good anymore.
Okay.
I'm sure that's what we did. We loaded cursor for spiral and spiral for cursor.
Okay, and it's our fault too. We should have watched that. Jack, this is Houston. We do have the pre-PDI AGS CAL numbers. You won't need to read them to us.
Okay. Gordy, you're going to want to recycle on this gravity measurement. I doubt if it'll need it.
Stand by. No, no recycle necessary this time through.
Okay. Gordy, ED bats are 37.2. Let me comment about the handling of the bird. After you once fly it around in orbit a little bit, you get accustomed to the thrusters, and it came back to me quite a bit from 10 anyway, and you get a feel for acceleration and deceleration, as well as the attitude hold capability. And it really, the response, even with a heavy descent stage, or descent stage near the surface, is phenomenal. Responded exactly in the direction I wanted, held attitude very good, and let me tell you, the LLTV plays no small part in this landing as far as I'm concerned.
Roger, Gene.
Okay, now 22 again. I'll go ahead and torque him.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Apollo Control at 113 hours, 44 minutes ground elapsed time, and the mission of Apollo 17. Some refined numbers on the landing site for Challenger. In degrees, minutes, and seconds, the latitude has been pinned down to 20 degrees, 9 minutes, 50.5 seconds north. Longitude, 30 degrees, 46 minutes, 19.3 minutes or seconds east, which is about 639 meters east of the designated landing point, the pre-mission landing point. For those newsmen who have the landing site with the grid coordinates on it, that corresponds to DN.0 by 84.2 at 113.45 ground elapsed time. This is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control at 113 hours, 48 minutes, ground elapsed time. We're estimating a change of shift, if you will, press conference with the landing team flight director, Jerry Griffin, in the small briefing room at 3 p.m. To repeat, estimated press conference in about 20 minutes, approximately. 18 minutes to be exact, in the small briefing room in Building 1. Some 42 minutes away from acquisition as the Command Module America comes around on Revolution 14. Meanwhile, on the surface, to repeat the estimated landing site is right down the line on the ground track, however, some 369 meters east or short of the pre-designated or pre-mission landing point.
A little better.
Dodge, looks good.
Okay, there's now 93.
Okay, torque it. Challenger Houston, we're standing by for
okay, the Gordon, I'm ready to give you a memo. Coming at you. Mark it, it's on the way. One other thing about the landing. I saw the light, I think, and I heard Jack call it the contact light. I think I waited about a second and hit the stop button. She shut down immediately, and of course you could feel the fall. I don't really feel we fell that much, but it was quite a change in acceleration at that point.
Roger, Gene.
And I guess I had, from what I would guess, a foot or two per second forward on that one.
Okay, sounds good.
And let me know when I can have the computer, please.
Okay, it's your computer, and I'm standing by with parking angles when you're ready to load them.
Okay, we'll be ready in a second. Go ahead with the angles.
Okay, these are the IMU parking angles. Plus 2, 9, 5, 8, 6. I see you're loading the radar. Do you want to just load these or write them down?
Go ahead, I'm writing.
Okay, Y will be plus all zeros. And plus 08414. Over.
Okay, now 20 will be plus 29586. Plus all zeros, plus 08414.
That's correct.
Okay, Houston, I'm going to power down the eggs, if you're willing.
Not yet, Jack. We'd like you to read out 047 and 053 to us.
Okay, you want the new ones. Okay, Gordy, if you're happy with 922, I'll enter him.
We're happy.
Okay, and just dawned on me, I'm sorry about the zero on the 969.
That's okay, you're forgiven.
I appreciate that.
Okay, Jack, we got 47 and 53.
Okay, am I go to pull the breaker? Are you happy with 920?
Okay, okay, we're happy with 920, and you're clear to power down the eggs.
Okay.
see you. Gordy, the breakers are coming open on 1-4 and 1-5.
Roger.
This is Apollo Control to repeat. There will be a change of shift press conference with Flight Director Jerry Griffin in the small briefing room in approximately 5 minutes. At 114 hours, 1 minute ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control.
Dad 6. Okay, thank you.
This is Apollo Control at 114 hours, 11 minutes, ground elapsed time into the mission of Apollo 17. Commander Gene Cernan's heart rate during the descent and landing ranged from 102, average during the descent portion of the landing, to 128 at actual touchdown. There's a change of shift briefing that will start momentarily in the small briefing room in Building 1. We'll take down the broadcast line at this time, tape any conversation during that period, and play it back at the conclusion of the briefing, which starts now. This is Apollo Control out.
5-4-2-8. 1-2...
This is Apollo Control at 114 hours, 36 minutes, ground elapsed time. During the just-ended press conference with the off-going flight director, Jerry Griffin, some 4 minutes of air-to-ground tape with the crew of Challenger has been accumulated, compressed somewhat from the actual real-time. That 4 minutes of tape will be played back, and we'll rejoin the conversation with the crew of Challenger at Taurus Littoral Landing Site at the conclusion of that tape. Roll the tape.
Okay, Houston, we're at the bottom of 1-8, and I'm standing by for your liftoff times.
Okay, Jack, liftoff time for Rev 15 is 116.5551. 16 is 118. 5-4-5-4-2-8. 120-5304. 122-5140. 124-5017. 126-48. 5-3. All right.
Okay, starting with Rev 15, 116-5551, 118-5428, 120-5304, 122-5140, 124-5017, 126-4853.
That's a good readback.
Gordo, the plist is against the hatch, and we're installing the bra.
Roger on that. Challenger, Houston, we've got three questions for you to help pin down your exact position. Anytime it's convenient, maybe when you're taking the out-the-window pictures. Over.
Okay, Gordo, I think we could give it to you. Why don't you wait? We're just getting the mag bag out and the jet bags out from behind the engine cover here to give you an idea where we are.
Okay, no hurry at all.
I had it pinned out for you until I got to about 500 feet when I changed my mind.
Gotcha.
Courtney, without going any further, and we'll answer your questions here when we get some time. My best guess is 150 meters from Poppy at 1 to 2 o'clock.
Okay, we copy that.
And I'll bet on that one, but we'll get with you in a minute.
Okay, 150 northwest of Poppy.
Yeah, mostly west, but slightly north.
Roger.
I tell you, the rear beam, I think, just about a beam of Triton 1. I can see it out there, but I can't really define Triton 1 from Triton 2. And the thing that is a little different is that I appear to be closer to it than I normally would have expected to be.
Okay.
That's probably as close as a Navy captain can ever get where he is anyway.
Okay, Houston, we're just starting our heat period. Sorry to be a little behind. PRD readings are 17037, and LMP is 24117.
Okay, Jack, we got that. Would you verify your biomed right?
Yeah, that's verified. How's it look?
Looks good.
Okay, Gordy, we're starting to cut into a little lunch here, and if you got any questions, why don't you come up with them now?
Okay, we're wondering if you can... give us an estimate of the angular position, the clock position of Rudolph, and can you line up Rudolph with a horizontal feature out beyond it? I should say horizon feature. Out in the distance, not horizontal.
Okay, I thought Rudolph was right out there at 3 o'clock. Jack's looking at it, and he said, yes, that is Rudolph right at 3 o'clock out his right-hand window.
Okay.
I don't know if it'll mean anything to you, but the shadow of the lamp, the rendezvous radar antenna, is pointing about one-third of the way down from the peak of Family. That, I know, pretty close. And, Gordo, I must be right here, a beam of Triton 1. The only reason I hesitate is that I'm so close, but it's probably, I guess it's close to 100 meters, 80 meters anyway, to where the rim of Triton 1 falls off, and I am a beam of the center of Triton 1, and that's the only possible thing it could be. And that would put Poppy just about where I expected it to be.
Okay. We just want to confirm you're referring to Triton 1 as the easternmost part of Triton, is that right?
No, sir, Gordo. It's always been the westernmost part of Triton. The... The landing site was on a line between Triton 1 and Rudolph, and judging from what Jack's got out his right-hand window, what I got out my left-hand window, we're right there, except possibly a skosh further south on that line.
Okay, I understand.
And, was right up where we all had expected it to be, about halfway between here and what we're calling the rim of Camelot. We can't see into Camelot, we can just see the rim of it. It's at least 200 meters, 200 to 300 meters up there, I expect.
Okay, what o'clock position is the west, the nearest part of the rim of Camelot? Camelot.
Or maybe if it's better defined, define the south rim. Can you see the south rim of it?
Yeah, Gordy, but it blends in so well. All we're seeing is an undulating high as the rim. To the best of my knowledge, we got the south rim at, the east rim right at 12 o'clock. Hey, Gordy, right at 12 o'clock also is a boulder that's at least 3 meters and maybe 5, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you can find it. It's on a line between us and the intersection of the South Massif and the Family Mountain Horizon, just slightly left of that line, or south of that line, and that boulder ought to show up on your best photography.
Okay, Jack, we'll take a look. One other question.
It's at least, that boulder's at least 200 meters away.
Okay. Can you see the west rim of Trident? And can you give us a clock position on the west rim of West Trident?
The west rim of Trident, which, by the way, is full of outcropping-looking boulders, is at 10 o'clock.
Okay, Gene.
Okay, I can look back around the corner now, and I can see where the east, where Trident 1 rolls up to its rim on the east side. And I would say we're a beam of a point. A beam of a point, one-third the way from east to west up the center of Trident. That is, we've covered one-third of Trident 1, and we're a beam of a point of a line that goes through the one-third point from east to west of Trident 1.
Okay, Gene, that's very clear. I think we got you pretty well nailed down. And you're pretty close to the planned landing site.
Yeah, I think it's very close to our planned landing site. And I'm anxious to see where Poppy is, because I think what I said earlier is true.
Okay, that's all the questions now. Enjoy your dinner.
Houston, I have calmed down, but be advised that our dinner is corn chowder.
Roger.
He went to Captain's Mast reading that the other day.
Marty, Houston, 17, how do you read, or Challenger, or whoever we are?
Whoever you are, you're loud and clear.
I took the binocs and looked at some large boulders in our 12 o'clock position. They're probably on the order of a half meter to 2 meters, buried, but without strong filleting. And most of them that I could see had the same model, light gray and medium gray texture. And it looked like there's a lineation in it. And whatever the modeling is, it's on a grain size or fragment size of or a few centimeters. And it looks as if it's very uniform in that modeling. That is, there's one fragment size.
Okay.
There are a few near one crater out at 12 o'clock. Dark gray rocks that may be glass coated. Matter of fact, one of them looks like it's right at the rim and might have been part of a projectile that made the crater.
Roger.
The large boulder that I mentioned at several meters in diameter, I'm not even sure it's a boulder. It does have a well-developed fillet. It's highly fractured. It looks like the fractures generally are north-south. At least we can't see end-on into the fractures. And it's too far away to be sure, but it looks like it's modeled also. Although there did appear in the binocular to be a more heterogeneous modeling. It might be a breccia.
Okay.
That boulder ought to be fairly close to the Alcep site.
Roger.
Gordo, in reference to these boulders, everywhere I can see out of my left window and out ahead of me, and referring to that boulder Jack's talking about, which is just a little bit on my side of 12 o'clock, it appears that the dark mantle has silleted and for the most part covered, or it has covered part of, or is on top of some of the crevices and the crannies in the boulders themselves, with the exception of, well, I'll take that back, even a very small one. I'd say from a population point of view, boulders of the size Jack's talking about that are visible through the surface anywhere from 1 to 2 to 3 meters, a very small percentage, but when you look at them at our level, it looks like they're quite populous. I'd say there's maybe about 25 of them in view between myself and where the horizon falls off down away from us towards the South Massif. The area back towards Station 1, at least the other side of Triton, looks like it's more heavily strewn with some of these filleted and partially mantled large fragments.
Roger, Gene.
And to say that there is a boulder as such actually sitting on the surface, I really can't find one, unless they're around some of these very small and possibly younger craters. But I think for the most part, everything is somewhat mantled.
Okay.
Gordy, I think maybe the predictions of a fairly thin regolith were good. I have a crater at about, 130 feet. It looks like it's not more than a meter deep. It's very fresh, has a bright halo around it, and it's very rocky in its interior and has some rocks that are at least 10 or 20 centimeters in diameter on the rim. It looks like it penetrated into some rockier, much rockier substrate than what we're seeing on the surface. The surface itself looks like a, probably 15% fragments greater than half a centimeter.
Okay, Jack.
I don't see any general size. I don't see any general size sorting. I do have a crater out here that's maybe a meter in diameter. That fairly fresh, although not bright halo, that has not penetrated to blocky material. And it looks like that the saturation crater size is very small in the area we can see. That is, there don't seem to be any old or very subdued craters. Let me think about how to put that again. It's obviously saturated with craters a few centimeters in diameter, but when you get bigger than that, there seems to be more of a clear distribution rather than a saturation.
Okay.
Gordy, let me give you a quick far horizon. 12 o'clock, I've got Family Mountain. It in South Pacific are a replica from their plane form where I am, from where I am, except that Family Mountain is much more symmetrical and rounds off to a very more definite peak. The South Pacific, in turn, has got a high plateau, a high flat peak on top. My far horizon then at 12 o'clock from about 12 to 11:30 is dominated by Family Mountain. It's, I hate to use the word anorthosite without getting out of the spacecraft, but it sure is white. It sure is white, but it's varied shades of white with sort of a tendency on its southern or southeastern slope to sort of be marble caked with a darker material, much the same color as the mantle that we've landed on. The Family Mountain disappears just about at the level of the rim of Camelot on my far horizon, and just in front of it starts out. That's at about 11 o'clock. It just there is where the South Massif starts up very abruptly. I'd say, I'll try not to overestimate, but certainly 30 degrees, I'd say. Very abruptly to a very impressive altitude. I know I was at 13,000 when I said I was at their level, but it sure looked it from there. It plateaus off from about 10:30. To about 9:30, and then it starts sloping back down towards the east at about the same angle, very symmetrical. There are several places where you can see what appear to be outcrop. I say several, about a dozen anyway, where you can see relatively large areas of outcrop on the South Massif. That outcrop is a darker gray color than the white gray of the massif itself. The one most dominant outcrop is right at the change in slope to the west, where it goes upslope and then plateaus off, and there's a definite outcrop, and you can see several boulders on all levels of the massif that have come apparently from outcrops, and I feel certain we'll be able to get to some of those that have come all the way down. South Massif 2 is appears to be in areas marbly caked dirty, such as if it was sprinkled with a dirtier or darker covering, and that covering is more evident as it slopes back here towards the east. As the far horizon now, I can see south of the steep all the way to 9 o'clock, but then behind it, there's just a little bread loaf type dome of a much darker, much more hummocky mound back there, relatively big. It's probably, from where I stand, at least 10% the size of the Massif, the South Massif. Gray in texture. There appear to be some lineations running, well, as I'm looking at them, they're dipping down into the west at about 20 degrees, but that may be a sun angle problem. But they're definitely there. And then contrasting that is Bear Mountain, which is also a much darker gray, much different than the Massif from where I stand. Much more hummocky surface appears to be to me what I would expect the sculptured hills to be like. One other thing about the South Massif is that as I look at it, at about 9:30 to 10:30, there's a little knob of the South Massif that overflow towards the east or slightly towards the northeast. That's the one that tends to be a little bit more heavily covered with the darker, dusty material.
Challenger, Houston, over.
There are... Go ahead.
Okay, we're about 12, 13 minutes behind the timeline for starting cabin preps. And backroom is enjoying your descriptions, but we think we'd rather you press on with the preps and get ready to get out for a really good view. Over.
Okay, Gordy, we're doing this in 8-2. We're trying to do them both at the same time, and we are pressing. Just want to say one other thing about the Massif. I can see a couple of places where craters have penetrated, very small craters, have penetrated the Massif, craters maybe a meter or two in size, some 5 meters, and there's a lot of rock debris around them, which tends to believe that there's very little, if any, soft covering on that Massif.
Roger.
Marty, just a couple more words about the North Massif. It looks like a good distribution of boulder tracks. Many of the boulders are accessible. The tracks can be traced up at least to mid-slope. That's at my 3 o'clock position. And occasionally at that mid-slope position, particularly northwest of Hinson, you can see abundant boulders suggestive of outcrop. That's something that we had missed seeing on the pre-mission photos, and it isn't as abundant as on the South Massif, but there are apparent ledge formers about mid-slope.
Yeah, let's make it. I don't know. I've got a lot of work. Outlet, if you want. That can throw away.
Okay, Gordy, there's also a few very bright sparkles from the surface. Not abundant, but a few.
Well, let me, I need you.
Challenger Houston, I'm going to hand you over to the good Dr. Parker here. Have a good trip outside there.
Gordy, thank you. You do outstanding work, and we sure do appreciate it, babe.
My pleasure.
This is Apollo Control at 115 hours, 16 minutes. Mission Control at presently is using these coordinates as the landing point. We will continue to try to refine that landing point further. But as of now, we're saying the landing point is 20 degrees, 9 minutes, 50 seconds north, 30 degrees, 46 minutes, 19 seconds east. This would correspond to, on the maps, for those of you who have grid maps, DM8 and 82.7. This...
On a minute, we just made a couple suit adjustments.
Okay, copy that.
It's estimated that the lunar module Challenger is on the planned north-south line and approximately 100 to 200 meters east of the planned landing point. This is Apollo Control at 115 hours, 18 minutes. We want to distinguish between the targeted landing point and the planned landing point. It had been the crew's intention all along to land approximately 200 meters east or short of the targeted landing point, the point at which the computer was targeting the Challenger. So we believe that Challenger is approximately 300 meters east of the targeted landing point, which would put it about 100 to 200 meters east of the planned landing point.
Apollo 17, Houston.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, Challenger, we've just lost about 16 dB on your high gain signal strength there. We're wondering if you happened to hit the switch there and if it moved, or could you give us a check on it?
We're nowhere near it. Stand by one.
Okay, and Challenger, there should be a pitch of 21 and a yaw of minus 45.
Plus 21 or minus 45, Roger. Bob, about 2 minutes here.
Okay.
Bob, this is Jack. On that high gain, I'm up close to 3.9 now, which is better than when we landed. Do you want me to do anything to it?
Right.
Stand by on that. Leave it alone. It seems to have gone away, Jack. It may have been a ground problem. Did you guys adjust it, Jack?
Yeah, Bob, we had to pick the drink bag and a couple other things.
No, did you guys adjust the high-gain antenna?
No, I didn't touch it.
Okay, copy that.
Buddy Swiss is in there. Oh. That's over there. Oh, did they? In there? I thought it was over on your side. That's over there. Bigger than it used to.
And Challenger, we have your hot mic.
Well, because I'm...
Challenger Houston. Over.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, when you guys get to the top of page 2-5, and I assume you're down still in the ETB from what your comments were on the hot mic there. When you get to the top of page 2-5, we'd like you to put both demand regs to egress. Over.
Okay, Bob, we'll do. We'll give you a call as we go along.
Roger, thank you.
This is Apollo Control at 115 hours, 30 minutes. Ron Evans in America has about 14 and a half minutes left before loss of signal on the 14th revolution.
Well, I'm thinking of it. We're working with one pair of scissors down here. We're going to take them out with us in ETB. You might make a point of reminding us to bring them back.
Okay, I copy that. Never did find Ron's, huh?
No, sir, and I couldn't just leave him up there and starve him to death.
Roger on that.
By the way, how's he doing?
Stand by. Challenger Houston. Your buddy is doing great, and the sounder is also doing great, which is a surprise, I guess.
I'm glad to hear that. That was no surprise, Bob. We wouldn't have taken it if it wasn't going to work.
I thought about that after I said it.
Bob, I just turned the airline heater on.
Copy that.
And the physical status of the crew is excellent, by the way.
Beautiful. Surgeon's happy.
Say, Bob, we're at the top of 2-5, and I forgot what it was you wanted me to do up there.
Okay, we'd like you to have the mandrakes, both of them, go to egress, please.
Yes, sir. Okay, they're egress now.
Okay, thank you.
Ron Evans has just reported seeing a light flash just to the east of Crater Oriental.
Okay, Bob, we're in the middle of the first paragraph on at 1:15:15 in the timeline.
Okay, copy that.
This is Apollo Control at 115 hours, 41 minutes. Neil Hutchinson, who's been the flight director for the CSM America during this past shift, will be in the MSC News Center in approximately 15 minutes for a news conference for those newsmen who would like to discuss the CSM with him. This is Apollo Control. This upcoming news conference will not be carried on the public affairs release line. We will continue carrying the air ground from Challenger on the lunar surface. The CSM press conference will not be carried on this PAO release line.
CDR's OPS, 5800.
Okay, we copy 5800.
LMP's OPS is 6,000 plus.
Copy that, Jack.
Okay, Hank.
This is Apollo Control at 115 hours, 45 minutes. We've just had a loss of signal with America, which has now gone behind the moon. We'll next acquire the command module at 116 hours, 30 minutes. All going well with Evans in America.
Heading slightly under 4.0.
Copy that, Challenger.
Okay, Bob, the urine line heater is off, and the urine line breaker is open, and we are down to applying anti-fog.
Okay, copy that, Challenger.
This is Apollo Control at 115 hours, 51 minutes. The crew of Challenger, Gene Cernan and Jack Schmidt, are running approximately 20 to 25 minutes behind the timeline at present. 20 to 25 minutes behind the timeline. We'll continue to keep you updated as we go along.